everything that's happening to us in our cycles is a message from our body, whether it's like, I'm on fire and I'm ovulating and I'm flirty and I feel sexy and I want to go out there and share my message and my mission and my voice is really just on and my brain is at full capacity, that serves a purpose, right? Whether you're actually trying to reproduce or whether you're trying to create fertility in your business or other things in your life, these are also metaphorical reflections of our cycles.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So I connected with my guest today, Diana Lane, on a patio while she was dressed as like a sacral menstrual princess and I was dressed as a deceased rock star. And as one would expect in these types of situations, we naturally connected right away over the notion of badass women and our capacity to invoke positive change in the world. Diana is a fascinating healer. She is a stress reduction specialist, holistic health expert, esoteric healer, acupuncturist, and what's so cool about her history and her tools as a healer is that she didn't start out this way. In fact, her journey had her starting out on a traditional path where she was studying pre-med because she had ambitions to become a cardiovascular surgeon. Diana's journey and the influences in her own life that forced her to change course has meant that thousands of people have impacted from her positive message and her true belief that women have a sacred capacity to contribute, in part because of our unique ability to connect to our sacred cycles. Diana has a lot to say on the subject of who we are as women and our power to influence society because of our innate female skills. It was a pleasure to sit down and have this conversation with her today, and I'm so excited for you to all meet Diana Lane. Diana Lane, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you, Megan.
I'm super excited you are here. We started to, we started to mindshare about this in the summer, but ironically, we were at mindshare and we got chatting about what a podcast interview would sound like. And we were so excited, but we couldn't make it happen until now. But I'm really interested in your journey. And I love the fact that you were on this really traditional path and you're like, listen, I was like pre-med. I was going to be a cardiovascular surgeon. Like, you're going to be as traditional as you could possibly be when it came to medicine. And then things switched for you and you're an acupuncturist and this esoteric healer and have this beautiful reverence for like female cycling and the power of like women's bodies and like totally different than where you started. So tell us, like, I'm like sitting here with bated breath. I'm like, tell me how the heck this happened. How did you switch courses so profoundly?
Yeah, thanks, Megan. You know, one of the biggest things I've learned is that everything is in divine timing. And so part of my story is that I was a ballerina as a kid. That was like my thing. I was so into it. And of course, with that came some eating disorders, came some unhealthy habits. And so I started diving into nutrition, going, okay, how can I heal my temple and not be eating like ice cubes and chicken and actually take care of myself in a really healthy way? So nutrition was the gateway. That was how I opened up into the medical field. And I felt like that wasn't really enough. And I was like, well, I want to save the world, right? The healer's journey. I want to save the world. And what better way to do that than to become a doctor? And what even more better component to do it than to become a heart doctor? So I was going to heal hearts and on this whole journey, and I'm in my pre-med program and I'm doing it and I'm getting into all the like advanced classes with the physics and the O-chem, and I'm in my cardiac rehab internship. And it was pretty quick when I started realizing that something felt a little off. I mean, people would be coming in, these patients coming in, their second or third stent in their heart, a couple coronary artery bypass surgeries, and they'd be like tossing their McDonald's cup on the way in, reeking like booze and cigarettes. And so I'm asking, you know, my mentors and the people who are managing this area, I'm like, you know, can I talk to these patients about these lifestyle modifications? And they more or less looked at me and said, that's not your job. Get them on the machines, take their vitals, make sure they're taking their prescriptions and send them on their way, which just blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. And I'm such an empath that it was really a hard pill for me to swallow, pun fully intended. So I asked more questions. Well, how many of these people are coming back? What are the mortality rates? You know, what can I expect in my life as a heart surgeon? How am I actually doing this in saving people's lives? And it became more and more abysmal every question I asked. And I would go home crying because I'm just such a sap. And I just couldn't handle it. I realized that the system was broken, that things were not actually helping people heal. And so I looked into everything. I mean, I dove off the deep end, looked into physical therapy and Ayurveda and naturopathy. And ultimately, when I found traditional Chinese medicine, it was like this click-in moment. Everything I had known from my life, I had experienced Chinese medicine as a kid, had multiple affirmations. And the more I learned, the more sense it made. We're influenced by everything in our environment, in our food, in our thoughts, in our sounds, in the colors we wear and surround ourselves with. And so I knew right away that this was the Tao, as they say, this was the path for me. So I shifted to kinesiology and exercise sport science for my undergrad, which gave me everything I needed, and then quickly went into med school, the traditional Chinese medicine school, and spent another 3.5 years on my master's. And it was the best decision I ever made.
I love that. When it starts to all click and fall into place, there's just like, there's a power to that momentum that just guides you. You just ride the wave.
It's so true. You know, it's alignment. It's what I call alignment, where things just happen and people started coming into my life and opportunities and jobs. And I was like, oh, yep, couldn't be any more clear. Thanks, universe.
Okay. So tell me about one of the things that you have created, and that is the Sacred Cycles Sisterhood, which I have to say slowly. What is that tribe? What is that tribe all about? Like, I love the sound of it. I want to learn more.
Yeah. So when I started my practice about 3 years ago, you know, I made the common mistake of, I just want to be a healer. I just want to be this conduit for healing and provide as much as I can for as many people as possible. So in trying to be everything for everybody, as we learn, we quickly become nothing for nobody. And so specializing made the most sense. And when I started tapping into my heart center and figuring out where my truth was and my power was, serving the sisterhood was it. It became so obvious that helping women's wellness and supporting women on their journey was the ultimate goal for how I serve. So as I started diving in deeper, it was like, okay, am I going to do women's skincare? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And what I started recognizing was not only the cycles in my life and the cycles in my body, and of course my feminine cycle, but I started noticing other women struggling with this too. You know, we don't get a lot of education around our menstrual cycles. We don't get taught about the ebbs and flows of feelings in our beings. And so the more market research I did, the more I reached out to women who felt alone and disconnected and lepers. Literally, I had a woman tell me she felt like a leper around her cycle. And some of them, it was so bad, they told me they literally felt like they wanted to die. So it became obvious that there was a gap here, and that women were lacking not only the connection of other sisters, you know, like long gone or the red tent days, even though they're making a resurgence now, which I love, And so creating a connection with sisterhood, I've always been really connected to the women in my life, even sometimes in the disconnect, like recognizing how powerful it is to have that tribe of feminine force. And so I created the Sacred Cycle Sisterhood as a platform to support women in the difficult conversations and the triumphs and celebrations, and to create a space where women go, hey, my period sucks this month and I feel like crap and I need some sister support. Can we get together? What are your tips and tricks? And really helping create a shift around this paradigm of this like taboo aspect of our periods. Like women don't even want to talk about it because they feel ashamed or gross or whatever societal BS has been implanted in their mind. So it's a platform to really support women struggling with fatigue, PMS, and disconnect, and help them realign with the sacredness of their cycles and the connections of sisterhood.
Well, it's so important because I think that we have, as a society, sort of systematically distanced women from the power of their menstrual cycle simply through the language that we use to describe it, and through the common vernacular, and you know, like you take an Advil so that you suppress all reference to it, and you like, right. You know, now you can just take a pill and you'll never get your period again, and like, you know, join the enlightened group who like made it stop for them forever. And we don't actually stop and go, oh, maybe there's actually a power to this. And there's so many layers to that. And I have so many places that I want to go with that. But like, how do we intersect that language that so many people, and I know there's a lot of people listening and they're like, I'm not in a headspace yet where I'm ready to like lean in and embrace my menstrual cycle. And I kind of want to challenge people on that because I think they're missing out on this entire opportunity to connect to a power that they have that can serve them in their life and can serve their family and their kids and their mission in a different way.
Yeah, you know, you touched on some really powerful topics here, and I'll start right away with saying that it didn't always used to be like this. Once upon a time, women were celebrated with reverence for their cycles. The days of the red tent in the goddessdom before the toxic patriarchy took over and before like super over-organized religion took over, this was actually a really powerful time for women. They were viewed as almost closer to that spiritual realm or those higher dimensions. They were consulted as oracles, and they were known to have kind of special powers during their cycles, which is awesome and incredible. And in these kind of trying times where things were shifting in society, was also very threatening, and especially threatening to men. Get a bunch of women together. They're all, you know, raging their periods and all dealing with this stuff, and they're going to take over the world. So in a way, it was kind of snuffed out on purpose. You know, at one point, women weren't even allowed to go into churches or cook when they were on their cycles. And in some countries, it's still true that you're not invited into temples when you're cycling. So that was a really big deal. And what I found is people are really calling in, women especially, we're shifting this paradigm into a more open aspect where it's like, this is my no more moment. We have this life-giving capacity, which is so powerful and so beautiful. And when we can harness that, even if you're not ready to dive full in head first, now I'm not talking like weird rituals with period blood or anything like that. I'm talking about, ladies, recognize when your cycles are. Follow the ebbs and flow because they're here to teach us a lesson. The reason we feel like crap, quote unquote, or the reason we have PMS before our cycles is because it naturally is supposed to be a time of reflection. Just like the season of fall, it is a time to go inwards, a time to reflect on what's going on in your life and to figure out how you can create space for yourself and others, how to care for your tender heart and your body. So everything that's happening to us in our cycles is a message from our body, whether it's like, I'm on fire and I'm ovulating and I'm flirty and I feel sexy and I want to go out there and share my message and my mission and my voice is really just on and my full capacity, that serves a purpose, right? Whether you're actually trying to reproduce or whether you're trying to create fertility in your business or other things in your life, these are also metaphorical reflections of our cycle. So as we learn to harness them as women and as we learn to say, you know what, that's BS. We have periods. They happen every month for most women as they're supposed to. And things like ablations, I met a woman who actually got her endometrial lining burned off so that she doesn't have a period anymore. And she is hormonally out of control. She's like, I don't know why I'm raging all the time. And it's like, let's see, it's been a year and a half since you bled and you're 32. This is part of our beautiful life-giving capacity and harnessing it, talking about it and saying, you know what? I have a period and it's not gross. It's beautiful. It's so essential for the shift in capacity of our society.
Well, and I think you hit on something really powerful that your menstrual cycle, when you choose to tap into it, has this capacity to communicate to you what your body needs on a deeper level. And I'll share really briefly, you know, my own story with this. When I was in high school, I was diagnosed with endometriosis and I'd had three surgeries to try to manage this. And finally, the gynecologist that I was working with is like, you know what, we're just going to put you on Lupron. We're just going to induce menopause because we can't solve this. And that was actually, it wasn't even surgery that was the final straw for me. That was the final straw for me. And I was like, you know what, I'm 17 years old. And the only solution that this entire evolved system of medicine can provide for me is we're just going to fully induce, we're going to just induce menopause. Like that was the medical system that we were all meant to revere. And I was like, no, I'm not okay with that. And so it is what galvanized my journey towards naturopathic medicine. And you know what? I didn't, believe it or not, Diana, I did not need to have menopause induced at the age of 17. I needed to stop eating potato chips and have Slurpees after my basketball practice. And I needed to eat real food and I needed to take out some dairy and I needed to address the fact that I had celiac disease. And when I actually did all of that, look at that. My symptoms went away. Look at that. I had three kids. Like, who knew? And, you know, I think that what this conversation hopefully can do for women is start to get them to understand there's a difference between common and normal as it pertains to your menstrual cycle. And if we all go with the belief that this is actually something that we can revere, that's really powerful for us, and if that's physically uncomfortable for you, then maybe this is actually an opportunity to start to address your health in a new way. Maybe that's actually the gift that this is giving you, because it's pointing out to you that things are desperately out of balance.
Absolutely. I mean, you really touched on something so powerful, Megan, and hearing that as part of your story, it makes my heart just tighten and then release to hear that you found your option, to think that you're probably not the only 17-year-old out there who went through this, that they maybe didn't have the hindsight or the foresight to look forward and go, what else can I do? What other options are there? And I've heard story after story, whether it's young women getting hysterectomies, whether it's young women, you know, getting menopausal induction therapy and things like that, or just being put on birth control for the rest of your life kind of a thing without really figuring out what's going on in the root. You totally are the testament to that. The crap you were eating, the Slurpees, the Doritos, all the things that are not serving us really influence how our body is functioning. And so when you get down to the root of these problems, you typically find that there are imbalances and we find that there are nutritional deficiencies. And what I'm recognizing is that more and more women are experiencing disruptions in their endocrine system and disruptions in their hormonal systems from processed foods, from things like Glade plugins, from other carcinogens and fragrances. And really, it just boils down to rebalancing the system, recognizing what the messages our body is sharing and what it's trying to tell us, and then recalibrating so that we can have normal cycles and have our periods without the problems.
Oh, 100%. Let's say you've worked on your stuff and you're like, okay, I have pretty regular periods and I don't need to take medication before them and I don't need to take 2 days off work and you know, it's not, there's no drama associated with it. But if we actually were to tap into that cycle, like what can we expect at various stages of our cycle? Like what is the power continuum as it were? When do we go in? When are we like warriors? When does that happen over the course of that cycle for us?
I love this. So we dive in really deep in the Sacred Cycle Sisterhood group. We go through start to finish what the ebbs and flows of our cycles look like, because there are peak capacity times. You know, there are times where we're feeling really on top of it. And there's times where we're kind of feeling a little more inwards. And for the ladies out there, as you start to go, I recognize that I'm really fatigued right before and during my cycle. I don't necessarily feel like I want to go and do a hard workout or go and just like rock it. These are your body's messages, your internal processing system, because of the fluctuation in hormones. So typically, like I mentioned, during our cycle, while we're actually having menstruation, most of us kind of feel a little snuggly. We're kind of tender and sensitive, might feel a little extra moody, might feel like, oh, I wish I could just like take a day off of work. Even if you're not like crampy and in pain and like totally off the wall with hormones, there's a reflective component of inwardness during the pre-cycle and the cycle itself. And then as we get out of it, our hormones shift and they start to rise again, and our body's preparing for, you know, the growth potential, whether that's in life and business or whether that's in actually growing a new life by becoming fertile and having a baby. But there's a lot of things that you can recognize as you start to track your cycle, that usually right after your period and in that first 2 weeks is kind of the on fire point. Coming up to ovulation, your hormones are on the rise and we start feeling good and we want to exercise more. And then as we get closer to ovulation, like I mentioned earlier, you start feeling kind of flirty and fun. And some of our pheromones change too. You might notice your smell changes a little bit. You might notice the way you're attracted to people changes. They say that near your period, unintentionally, you'll be attracted to more feminine men. And then in your ovulation, you're naturally attracted to more masculine men because you're unintentionally trying to reproduce. And so learning to ride those waves and go, hey, you know what? It's almost period week. It's okay to take the day off or to not go out to this party or to just journal a little bit more. And then using those creative juices when you're in your peak to like hit business heavy, work on projects more and things like that. So there's a lot more to it than that. That's kind of a basic overview. Like there are foods and activities and different things you can do during this time, probably more than we can share in this sweet podcast.
Yeah, I really would love to see a world where when a man looks at us maybe compassionately or maybe not and says, are you on your period? Where you can look back and be like, hell yeah, I am. I bet you're jealous, right? Because like we have this power, and I hear this from women all the time where they're like, and I literally hear this all the time. You know, it's not really fair. Men don't have to contend with all of this. It's like their unfair advantage in the workplace. And I always shift that on them. And I'm like, I think that what I want you to mean by that is men don't get to experience this in the workforce. And I've had far too many people in my practice over the years who come in who are on a pill like Sezonique where you never menstruate. And when I ask about that, I'm like, oh, was this prescribed for like debilitating endometriosis or like some prelude to fertility treatments or whatnot? And they're like, nope, I was just tired of not having an advantage in the workplace. And it just breaks my heart because I was like, this is our unfair advantage. This isn't the thing that takes away from our power as contributing members to society. This is our power as contributing members of society. I think the work that you're doing in that respect is so powerful.
Oh, I love what you said there, is really shifting that perspective to where women use this as a tool of our life-giving capacity, of our strength. And I'll tell you right now, ladies, if I meet a man who's like weirded out and grossed out and is like, ew, periods, I'm like, bye, boy. Like, absolutely not. You know, that old, like, ew, gross, is how old are you? You know, this is something that's actually pretty sacred and has been ceremonial. And in some cultures, they revere menstrual blood as having special powers. So as we start to shift our perspective, we'll see like, oh, okay, it's all right for me to go, hey, I'm having a little bit of a low flow week. Maybe someone can help with some extra work, or one of your other homegirls who's in ovulation, or one of the dudes who's quote unquote, not dealing with cycles, even though guys get PMS too, you can kind of offshoot some of that where we work to support each other together. What I call PMS for men is premenstrual syndrome. Guys get it too. They are not exempt. It's just not as prominent as ours is.
Can we talk about that? It's going to make me feel better.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I have started observing not just women, even though that's my focus, but watching men as well. And I live with a male roommate right now, which is not common for me. I typically find myself keeping very clear distances in my male-female relationships and things like that. But I live with this awesome guy. He's totally incredible, great friend, totally adore him. And the other week, he like was so grumpy about something, and it was something really small. He was like, well, I don't know. And I could just feel his energy. Like I basically could feel him in kind of a little bit of like bitch mode, little bit of PMS mode, excuse my French, but like being kind of crabby, you know? And I didn't understand at the time what was going on. And I was like, okay, you know, and I just created space for it. And we had an opportunity to talk about what was coming up. And, you know, a couple of days later we talked it out and he came up and he was like, I think I was just having a tough week. You know, I think I was just going something, and I joked and I was like, oh, you're having premenstrual syndrome. The ebbs and flows in life exist across society. They exist across the universe. There are expansions and contractions in both seasons, in friendships, in everything that we go through. So men are not exempt. I don't think they're as hormonally regulated as women are, and they don't necessarily recognize it. We're like, wow, that dude is just kind of being a jerk. But we all have these aspects of like, ugh, I just don't feel like my best self right now. And that's okay. That's okay. And that's okay to say that. I'm not feeling great. Could you help me out? Could you take some extra work?
And it is okay. And I know one of the areas of focus in your practice is helping people manage stress generally. You're like a stress slayer. So what do you do with people when we're talking about, and they're like, because, I mean, listen, there's nothing distinct. If someone comes into my office and they're like, I just have a lot of stress, I'm like, yes, yeah, yeah, we do. Like the first step is acknowledging that, right, as opposed to denying it. What do you do with them? What's your approach to managing stress?
I love that term, stress slayer. I'm going to go ahead and pay homage to you and be like, thanks to Megan Walker for this new term. I love that. So stress is prevalent. It is omnipresent. We live in a very busy world, and we are constantly inundated with various things that affect how our sympathetic nervous system responds. So when we're in fight or flight, our breathing gets shallow, our vascularity changes, and our body's literally working to protect itself. So stress has this mechanism of not completely screwing up our hormones through something called the pregnenolone steal. So cortisol will go up and steal the precursor to all of the other processes that create our hormones that we naturally need. And stress affects our adrenals as well. We're all feeling so burnt out these days. I mean, there's constantly on the go. And if we're not doing self-care, it is easy to literally run ourselves into the ground. I am a huge, huge supporter of breath work. I can't tell you how many of us, including myself, forget the number one basic tool for life, breath. We're breathing so shallowly. We're not taking presence pauses to like, just to inhale and exhale. So something as simple as little moments to check in with your breath every day is a great place to start. These nice inhales through the nose, long inhales, a minimum of a 4 count, and an exhale through the mouth with a sigh is a really calming breath. So we do a lot of lifestyle modification in the treatment room. So as an acupuncturist, I have this, you know, brick and mortar time of service in clinic thing that I'm doing very hands-on. And then the sisterhood creates another platform for transformation. But when I'm working with patients or I'm working with sisters, we're really getting to the core of what it takes to remove those stressors or to at least be able to adapt to them. So I love doing adaptogenic herbs. I definitely am a big component, have a big component of herbal combinations and supplemental combinations, as well as lifestyle stuff. Like there are different apps you can use to meditate. even 10 minutes a day can be so beneficial for your brain. So I'm constantly trying to circumvent the stressors and help people find out how to deal with them in a way that their parasympathetic response can take over so they're not running themselves ragged. And a lot of times it's basics: breath work, water, good nutrition, sleep, and then we go to that next level of supplements and lifestyle and finding things to do that we love that are great outlets for our souls.
Well, yeah, and you touched on some like really powerful fundamentals in terms of, you know, are you breathing, which most people aren't doing, and are you actually hydrated, which most people are not. And I find when you bring those things up, they look at you, they're like, that's common sense. And I look at them and I'm like, but are you commonly doing it? And they're like, ugh, fine, right? And the thing is about common sense is it's rarely common doing. And if you're going to call it out like that, you have to at least say, you know, I'm doing all those things and I'm still needing that additional support. And that's where adaptogens and some of these other tools are so, so powerful and so important. And you talked about in there, you know, not just removing and getting rid of the stress, which isn't really usually a possibility in modern life, nor do we necessarily want to, but you talked about building resilience. And how do we make it possible to lean into some of those stress, like triage the ones that need to stay and the ones that need to go, but like, you can still have a life of mission and contribution and stress, but actually have balance among that. And I love that you talked about that.
Yeah, you know, retraining our bodies. I do something called Ashtanga yoga. And Ashtanga is a really cool practice because it is a sympathetic movement with a parasympathetic breath. So you're literally training your body how to respond in a parasympathetic state to sympathetic stimuli. So again, like something as simple as like when you recognize you're stressed, using a pattern interrupt, whether that's using a form of Qigong. I do something called Qigong shaking where you literally just shake your body. You kind of bounce up and down and it helps release the tension. So finding these kind of pattern interrupts can be really powerful. I always tell this story in my meditations when I'm doing shaking because everyone looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, no, literally shake your body. And deer, so animals of prey, especially deer, when they get away from a predator, they go into a field and you'll see them. They'll shake their whole body. They'll be trembling and shivering and moving. And they're actually physiologically releasing trauma. So when we begin to reflect on nature, we can see that there are ways that our bodies, whether it's tapping or shaking, if you haven't heard of emotional freedom technique, I highly recommend checking it out. There's other tools like neuro-linguistic programming, but our mind is so powerful. And when we learn how to harness that strength and we learn to go, oh, I'm stressed right now. I need to go take a 2-second break or a 10-second break or take a walk around the building or something like that. You're actually retraining your body to respond in different ways. And that can be such a powerful tool to circumvent being in this hyperventilated fight or flight stressed state. And then, of course, the herbs and the supplements and the foods and all those things build that platform even stronger.
I know what this is, but I want you to explain it because it's so super cool. What is the emotional freedom technique? What is tapping?
Yeah, so I love tapping and it's really cool because it's becoming really popular and it's actually based on a couple different like neuro-emotional techniques, release techniques that help your brain and your body release the emotions. And it's also based on acupuncture and Chinese medicine. So the points for tapping are acupuncture points. And what you're doing is you're retraining your subconscious mind by tapping specific areas that have different charges and different powers and abilities to release. And you use affirmations. So you acknowledge what's going on, like your chest center right over your sternum is a really powerful point. And it's a common point for tapping. And you can recognize, even though I'm stressed right now, I love and accept myself completely. And you're tapping on your heart center. So you're changing the charge. You're actually changing the ionic bonds. You're changing the releases of free radicals and things like this. You're stimulating the thymus, for example, in the heart center. And you're helping your body recalibrate in both a conscious and a subconscious way because we can't always control the unconscious mind. But by doing something like tapping with these positive affirmations, even though I'm stressed right now, I love and accept myself completely. You're able to start releasing some of those triggers and some of those kind of, I call them the stuck yuckies, those things that get stuck in our body, whether it's emotional traumas and things like that. And it can create really powerful transformations.
Diana, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want to be seen as a woman who stood in the light of darkness and who led with an open heart and compassion, taking a stand for society and the sisterhood so that we can all rise together.
Well, that's beautiful. You know, I love that. And the part I love the most about it is this concept of taking a stand for something. And, you know, I think if more of us did that, if we actually tapped in and really listened to what was in our hearts, men and women, it doesn't matter. And then stood beside that, like planted yourself in that, I think the world would see transformational change. And we kind of need that right now. So thank you. Our body is a series of interconnected systems. What is happening in one system puts pressure on another. We understand this intuitively, and yet the most powerful medical system in the world, Western medicine, continues to evaluate our health in individualized silos. We have assessments related to cardiovascular health, oncology, respirology, dermatology. We have individual silos of expertise. When we assess the body from a functional perspective in our practice, we want to understand not whether you are necessarily fine in all of these different systems, but whether or not they are functioning in an integrative manner in a way that moves you closer to optimal health. While there are lots of functional tests that we can do to be able to assess that, technology is enabling us to start to look at this thing on the basis of artificial intelligence through the aggregation of data. We do this in our practice using a tool called Living Matrix, and I want to make this assessment available to you. If you go to our new website, anthropologyperformancelabs.com, on the front page, you will see an opportunity for you to opt in into your personalized functional medicine quiz. Completing this questionnaire will take approximately 40 minutes of your time, and when you're finished, we're going to prompt you to have an opportunity to sit down from someone on our medical team to review your individualized results. We are all on big missions. We are all trying to change the world. It's no longer sufficient for our health to simply be fine. For us to achieve what we want to do as badass women with a vision for how we can help the world, we need to move our health to a place of optimal. And I invite all of you the opportunity to see how close to that line you really are. Go to anthropologyperformancelabs.com and do your quiz today. I think this is a perfect place to transition to the second part of our interview. And I call this our KPIs, or our key performance indicators. And these are questions that shouldn't require any thinking for you. But just like we have KPIs in our business, I believe we have them in our lives as well, in terms of how we choose to live and the activities we choose to engage in. So if you'll indulge me, I've got a few quick rapid fire questions coming your way.
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share it?
I do have a consistent evening routine. So I typically am trying to limit screen time for at least an hour before bed. 2 is ideal. I do, of course, have those settings on my phones and computers to where it blocks the blue light. So I'm really working on limiting phone time for sure. My bedroom is a really safe and sacred space. It's got a nice amount of darkness in it. I have something called the rooster noise machine. So it makes this summer night sound that sounds like you're camping. So there's crickets going on. It's like very soothing.
That's cool.
It is fun. I love it. They're like $13 on Amazon. I highly recommend getting one. I can't do the white noise. It's too stimulating for me. So I like this little summer night. And then I have my lights. So I have lamps in my room because the overhead lights are very bright. So I'll wind down in bed, usually about an hour before my guesstimated bedtime. I'm trying to always be asleep between 10 and 11, which, you know, is difficult sometimes because life. And I have this app called Insight Timer, and I listen to Kenneth Soares pretty often. I listen to his nighttime meditations, which are super soothing, and I'm a sleep talker. So I put my sleep talk app on that records me when I sleep so I can giggle at it in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny. I do some breath work. I brush my teeth. I have all the apps going. I have my little nighttime sounds, and I just create some space for myself. I don't let my kitties sleep in my bedroom very often, even though I love snuggling them, because they're a sleep distraction for me. So really creating a sacred space in my room. I love my bed. I love my pillowcases. I have like drapey things. So just really coveting that space and that kind of sweet ceremonial downtime for sleep.
That's the best answer I've ever heard for an evening routine. So well done. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
So one of my favorite things to read and that I'm constantly picking up over and over again is A Path with Heart by Jack Kornfield. By far, I've gone through it a couple times and highlighted and re-highlighted, and I love just reminding myself about that. Also on my bookshelf is stuff by Khalil Gibran. I've got kind of like a stack of books next to my bed. Healing PCOS with Amy Melding is also up there. And then I'm always pulling out my, they call them the Ma Chiocha books. So my traditional Chinese medicine foundation books. And I'm a book hopper. So I'll be like reading a couple stuff in one thing and then switching to something else and kind of getting little bits of information and insight and wisdom from all of those.
Yeah, I've got my Machiochas on my bookshelf as well. I haven't heard that name for a while. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
I call it being beautifully picky. I am very persistent about the things that I like to eat and about the things I put into my body. So while some people might think it's really inconvenient for me to want vegetables with every meal, I know such an unreasonable request. I'm very persistent about the types of food that I'm eating and making sure that I'm getting high quality organic fruits and vegetables. And I do believe in eating meat. It's good for the blood. And again, those high quality, free range, well-loved, well-cared for beefs and chickens and stuff like that.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I love this question because I've had this experience at different events and different things that have involved mountains and snow. I am a black diamond snowboarder.
Oh, look at that. Well played. Yep.
People are always like, what? Like, who are you? I'm like this, you know, petite 5'4½, like hippie chick. And then I shred down the mountain past everybody and they're like, wow, okay.
That's badass. I love that. What do you do for fun or play?
Oh my gosh. So we have a place called Barton Springs here, right in the center of the city. And it's this beautiful watering hole. In the summer, I spend a lot of times there. I host morning meditation and movement events there. I'm often networking, hanging out with friends, going to holographic sound healings with singing bowls, creating events for the sisterhood. So really just being involved in community. I love to do yoga. I love to dance. I do something called ecstatic dance, which is this like wild, free form, silent, self-expressive. There's music, but your mouth is silent. And it's just this beautiful form of dance and release.
Finally, last question for you, Diana. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think by nature, all of us have an entrepreneurial component. I mean, I was that girl that was like selling sparkly rocks to my neighbors when I was like 7 years old and being stoked that I made like $20. So looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, I've had that entrepreneurial spirit in me for a long time. However, it also has to be refined. This is a skill set. You have to work on it. And I am constantly evolving and growing and changing and learning and course correcting. So while that is a true nature, I think to most people, some have it a little more sparkly than others, and some choose to fine tune it more than others.
Diana, you've got so much to offer, so many incredible ideas and resources for women. Where can people find out more about you and get a little more insight in terms of some of the cool things that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So for my practice, I have a website called moonmedicinemagic.com, and that gives you a little bit of background info about me. And on there, you can learn more about the Sacred Cycle Sisterhood as well. I've launched a retreat program this year that's been so wonderful. I've taken this group of women through this transformation. We're halfway into it now, and watching them blossom and grow has been so incredible. So you can check that out at moonmedicinemagic.com, and there's a tab for that. You can also find me on Facebook through Moon Medicine Magic, or for the women out there, you can join the Sacred Cycles Sisterhood Facebook group. We're constantly growing and changing. It's a great platform to express and connect with other like-minded women who may be sharing similar stories. And you can also find me, Diana Lane. Feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Well, we're going to hook everybody up with links to all of these different places in our show notes. Diana, thanks so much for being here today.
Awesome. Thanks, Megan. It's been a pleasure. And we'll see y'all sisters soon.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.